Nothing makes a song like a good kazoo. The first one I have to introduce that we've neglected Kim in our quality time song.
Right.
So I made a song a little bit more emphasis on Kim.
Okay, so. Cool. And by a little bit, I'm terrified that he actually means that car I thought was following me. I think we just figured it out.
Welcome to quality time, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
My name is Eric Woodworth, the hostess with the mostest, joined by my two wonderful counterparts, Jeremy Woodworth and Kimberly Ambrose. How are you, ladies and gentlemen, doing?
Hey.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's on the show today?
Tonight, I'm King Diamond.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh!
King Diamond, everyone. King Diamond. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, King Diamond. Where do you hail from?
Well, I'm from Germany, and I love wearing makeup. And I like putting a cross on my forehead in my white makeup.
All right.
Cool.
And regular old Kimberly Ambrose, how are you doing?
Basic bitch Kimberly Ambrose version. Yep. I'm pretty good. I'm okay. I did a show in Cambridge with you yesterday. That was super fun.
It was, wasn't it? It was a hoot.
It was a hoot. I put my windows down in my truck and I drove over the Bay Bridge with slightly less fear than normal when I drive over bridges.
The Choptank River.
It felt great. The Choptank River.
Choptank.
I was into it. I liked it. The crowd was awesome. Sold it out. Made a little money. Called it a day.
It was a good show. It was hot audience down there in Cambridge.
They saw you and they were like, oh, yeah. He's so funny.
People laughed at me when I just walked in. They were like, this fucking guy right here.
Yeah. Here comes showstopper.
I bought some new tight pants, okay? I bought these new tight pants, and they are very form-fitting. And by that, I mean, like, if you go to Walmart, you can now buy fat people pants that are basically sweatpants. They look like jeans, but they are sweatpant material.
For the people.
And I look professional and ready to party all at the same time.
Now my dad lived in Cambridge for a couple years because he worked at Airpax, which is, like, the biggest company there until probably McDonald's moved in. And, the greatest thing was getting to stay at his little place where he stayed, and he had an old woman there that ran the boarding house, or I guess boarding rental place called, and her name was Miss Toomey, and she was at least 300 pounds, and I'm sure smoked at least a carton of cigarettes a week.
Ugh, gross. Mm.
But the best part is that she didn't have the best water system at her place, so every once in a while, Mrs. Toomey would need the water, and she would say, Boys, don't use the water, boys. Don't use the water. And my dad would say, oh, that's the sound of Miss Sweet Toomey. I think she died of lung cancer.
Miss Toomey. R.I.P. Miss Toomey and her hot water problems.
That was the great story of Mrs. Toomey. So.
A couple of quick announcements for the show, real quick. Coming up this Friday and Saturday, you can catch Kimberly and I, and maybe even Jeremy, too, at the Murder Mystery this weekend at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Jeremy, starting the Halloween that soon?
No, you're going to be in attendance. Jeremy will be around signing stuff. You know, he's very popular.
Hot ticket.
I'll just be walking around naked.
Yes. So,
Ross Bobby naked.
Friday and Saturday, and if you're listening to the show, fans of the show, inbox the Quality Time show, and possibly you could get some free tickets to a show this weekend.
Hell yeah.
So inbox Quality Time and let us know. The first five people that we get will get free tickets, and you might even get more than one free ticket. Who knows?
August 11th and 12th at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. I think it's one show Friday, two shows Saturday. You have three chances to see us.
That is correct. So definitely come on out. No matter what, even if you don't win a free ticket, you should just freaking come out, you dummies.
Freaking come out, you dingus.
Yeah. It's right here in Baltimore. This is where we live. Come on
out
down.
We'll have a beer. I'll slap your nuts.
I wish.
And all other future shows you can always check out on dielaughingproductions.com.
At dielaughingproductions on Instagram.
Hell yeah, yeah. But we have, guys, we have such a jam-packed show tonight. I did want to start by revisiting
last week.
By mentioning last week some of the things that happened. Joe Robinson from the Robin Joe Show, also producer in Die Laughing Productions, has...
He's also on 98 Rock.
A 98 Rock aficionado. He is now our fact checker on the show.
Yes, he is the quality time scientist.
He literally listens to every episode and point by point dissects every error and mistake that we have. So we would like to, listen, we're out
well
there.
Well worth a grown
to,
man's time.
We're out there to correct the wrongs.
Yes.
And we call this the Joe Robinson Corrects the Quality Time Brothers Show. So here we go. We got, last week one of the topics was we were talking about movies that are universally panned, and my pick was Magic Mike. It was actually Magic Mike XXL, which only has a 57% rating.
Technically.
But Joe Robinson made a point to say Magic Mike has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. Universally shat on like this. Oh, it's universally shat on. 81% of people love it.
I want to see the other movies. The other movies that have 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, it'll be like, classic fucking great movie, and then Magic Mike.
The only thing I could respond with was, what's the heterosexual male rating of the movie? Because yeah. I feel like I'm in the minority on this one.
I agree with you.
And then he said, checking the breakdown. He also says, Jeremy misquoted somebody. He said, Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh from what?
I don't know. He said just that was one of the...
That's all you need
to know. I think that's the bad guy from Wild Wild West that we couldn't...
The producer that wanted to have the special spider?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I don't know.
I think I said Carrot Top.
We can't even get Joe Robinson's corrections correct.
Is somebody going to come in and correct Joe Robinson's corrections?
Now, he did say that Kim understands the universally panned thing. Wild Wild West, 17%. Killing it.
Thank you.
So, in my defense, I will now switch my pick to a universally panned movie. And
whoa.
I did check it on Rotten Tomatoes. The Ladies' Man, everyone. The Ladies' Man.
You like that movie.
Oh, man. Mm. The Ladies' Man is a great film.
It's not, but you like it.
See, it's obvious that you are gay, and that's cool, but you try to oil me up, and that's not cool. Oh, man, The Ladies' Man is a good movie.
Did that get a better rating than Stuart Smalley Saves the World?
I don't know.
Or
you know
family?
What? I like Stuart Smalley Saves Stuart Saves His Family. It's not a bad movie.
Right.
And now he's saving the great state of Minnesota every day. So... he also had a problem where we were talking about who was the most infamous black person accused that didn't get convicted.
Mm.
And I said O.J. Simpson is like almost 90% a murderer. He had a problem with that percentage. He said it's much higher than 90%.
I mean,
you're
he was
an idiot.
Found guilty in a secondary trial.
Exactly. So he was just like 90% was not a good enough percentage. He said it's 100% guilt. There's no other... Another way of
this is going to start a controversy. Now,
can I add a little thing in my brush in with Al Franken?
Give
now
us a
you
little...
have to. You can't just say that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's only a 10-second story. I hate to say that a long time ago in a galaxy far away, I did go to a Christian Coalition thing, and lo and behold, as I'm walking out, I pass within 1 to 2 feet of Al Franken walking in. And just close enough to look at him, and I know why he's there, and I go, oh, no. So he gets a look, and I was like, meh. So that was my brush with Al Franken. This is way before. I mean, this was in the 90s when, and Robertson still had a two cents in his head, so, but either way. So, not proud. Very, very ecumenical. So.
Okay.
I'm far more conservative than those bastards now.
So that was Joe Robinson's 2 cents. Also,
thank you, Joe.
Just one other mention of Joe Robinson. He apparently had a conversation with you because there's a show coming up in October that he's trying to book where Jeremy finally got the big call up. Jeremy, would you like to share your encounter with Joe? What Joe called you about getting your first official gig? I think filling in for me in the murder mystery.
I didn't know about filling in for you. I thought I was still doing the clown thing.
Okay.
But at the same time...
Well, tell us about this encounter.
At the same time, I was trying to sell him on my video that I gave him of my Pogo project, except he didn't watch it because I labeled it kiddie porn.
So you gave him a movie that you're in.
Yes.
What was it? Scienceless fiction?
No. Thank God, no. I didn't give him that. No. No, this is the Pogo project with John Link introducing it, where he likes to say the word sodomize. but no, he didn't watch it. So
Joe Robinson called me up. And he's like, all right, listen, I need to control the narrative of what your brother's going to say here, okay?
Not wrong. Totally correct.
Now, he's going to paint me out to be some kind of monster because I didn't put in his disc that said kiddie porn. I'm sorry. I didn't put in the disc that said kiddie porn in my DVD player. I apologize for that.
And obviously, you put something like that in, you just expect to see a camera angle just on some guy jerking off right into the camera.
So, Jeremy... Joe goes on to tell me that he's like, you understand, I called your brother up and I gave him the part. And then he said, well, did you watch my movie? I was like, Jeremy, no, I didn't watch your fucking movie. And he was just like, by the way, you got the part. There's nothing that's going to help you by me watching this movie. You understand? It's only going to make me second guess myself for hiring you. All right?
Again,
like, there's no benefit in me watching this for you. So why? Stop trying to sell yourself, okay? So...
You know me. I'm always selling myself. I think I did a comedy routine a year ago. So.
Oh, so. One other quick shout out, just because it's still on my mind. We met a big fan of the show over in Cambridge last night.
Hey.
Yeah, guys. One of our top listeners. No, we met Mr. Matt Cannon. Matt Cannon and his beautiful wife.
Matt Cannon.
Shout out. Big Quality Time fan. He came to the show out in Cambridge. His wife is like super pregnant. She's like a week away. And he drove her all the way out to Cambridge to come watch the show. So.
I don't understand the comment that the guy made about us being offensive. Like we're being too careful about who we offend. Like last week's obvious, very very friendly, loving of ISIS albums.
We've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the ISIS on the Cake episode. So
yeah.
It's pretty exciting. So anyway, I just want to give a big shout out to Matt. It was good. Thanks for coming out to the show, bro. We really did appreciate it.
Good luck with
you
your
there.
Baby.
Hell yeah, and good luck to the end of your life. And he's also really
the end of an intact vagina.
Oh, and he also used to work with James Finn.
Now.
He used to work with James Finn, Realtor James
Ooh.
Finn.
Realtor James Finn?
I feel instantly brings us in to our next part. Jeremy has prepared a bit of audio. This is the long-awaited hit song worked on for a long time. The official debut of the James Finn song.
Yes.
Are you sure you're ready?
I think.
God, I'm so ready.
I'm so ready. I've got to be honest with you. My pants just got real tight.
I have
over
to
here.
Wear a butt plug just to listen to this.
There's called pitching a tent, and I've got a whole goddamn gazebo down here right now.
Oh my gosh!
Mm-hmm. Fit for a picnic, this guy.
I just want you to know this is 100% me, just like Prince. There is no revolution.
All right.
God. Oh my
God. The James Finn song, everyone.
Could you do a rundown for us of the lyrics?
James Finn, Realtor.
Realtor.
Both master of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Hilly. He'll eat your car.
He'll eat your car.
James Finn, an alien from a thousand worlds, yet he pretends to like cheese.
That's fucking amazing. Holy
the James
shit.
Finn song. All right.
Which I feel, you know, encapsulates James Finn as a person.
When you think of local comedians.
Chameleons.
He's a local chameleon.
Alien from a thousand worlds. That's kind fucking
pretty
amazing.
Pretty much like Kurt Russell from the new
pretty
Guardians
much.
Movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much exactly like that.
I really like that, Jeremy. That was a really special thing. So you recorded that in Mom's basement earlier this week.
Yes.
And what did they think of you screaming at the top of your lungs?
I wait until everybody leaves
yes.
so I can scream at the top of my lungs like King Diamond, my favorite goth band. And of course, I have to put makeup on before I sing it as well. So, and Grandma! Sorry. King Diamond fans will know Grandma. So.
All right. I mean, there's a lot of... We have a very heavy listenership of King Diamond fans. They're no idea what they're talking about. I don't know what King Diamond is. I'm very lost.
I just felt I wasn't giving enough to James Finn and to Kim Ambrose as well.
You're so generous.
Are you saying there's a Kim Ambrose song? That
Qua?
There's a Quality Time Kim Ambrose song.
Okay, so Jeremy messaged me earlier this week saying that I finally got my downstairs studio done. And as you can see...
That could have been taken a number of ways.
Yes, I know. If you've ever seen the movie Law Abiding Citizen, that's immediately what came to mind for me.
It made me think of old Greg, like Miss Downstairs mix-up.
So Jeremy's putting all of his mixtapes to full use, and you said you've created some new tracks, possibly, as a new opening theme song for Quality Time that you came to share with us tonight.
Oh,
and, you know what, guys, we're going to play it here, and if you want to send us some feedback on the Quality Time Facebook page, let us know which one of these you like. We would really appreciate your input. Is this better than our current theme song? This is all new to
maybe,
us.
Maybe.
Kim and I are sitting here, and we're coming into this fresh and new. We have no
fresh.
Idea what we're about to hear here.
Our holes have never been penetrated. I couldn't be more ready for what's about to happen.
Oh, it only gets better. It only gets better. But I felt that Kim wasn't getting enough attention for the show, and me being a complete stalker.
Yes.
I give as much as...
I give 110%.
I don't just stalk. I stalk naked with clown makeup.
Well,
so.
You stalk because you care.
Exactly. Yeah. Until the taser comes out and the
right.
shots get fired. So,
right. Like any good stalker.
You know, you're nobody as a celebrity unless you have a stalker.
I feel like that's kind of true, actually.
You know?
Yeah, or a couple of them.
Like, oh, I'll sign that album for... Oh, then you shoot me. Thanks a right. lot, Mr. Lennon.
Like,
thanks
anybody
a lot.
Can have an internet troll. Like, what is that?
Thanks, Mr. Chapman. Dick. Never going to sign that album for you again.
All right, so...
Mark David Chapman.
Yes.
Fact checker.
Guy who shot John Lennon.
Okay. Prepare to wet your vagina, wet. Eric.
All right. I'm fully moist.
This is only the first one.
My man dick's going to get real hard. Stupendous. Again, can we have the lyrics?
It's
Quality Time, whatever we want to talk about.
Whatever
and, midgets.
And midgets with Kim Ambrose. Kim Ambrose and Eric Jeremy.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
That's awesome. So that was take one. Do we have a name for this, for that particular one, or are we just calling it take one?
That would be the extra Ambrose quality time.
Extra
intro.
Ambrose? Okay. Extra Ambrose. All right.
I would call it and midgets.
If you guys are playing along at home, we're looking at the extra Ambrose intro as a possible replacement. All right, Jeremy's face, first of all, is so giggly right now. Like, he's trying to pull up the next one. And it's as if, have you ever seen a child when they're making, like, a Play-Doh penis for the first time? You can't see it, but they're fashioning it and molding it. And the face, it's the face of a child when they're doing something wrong is basically the best way to describe what Jeremy's doing right now.
Okay, here it comes.
There we go. Hell yeah.
Party time. Party time. Video games. Horror films. Comedy and midgets. Party time. Video games. Horror films. Comedy and midgets. With Kim Ambrose.
I like that. That was the Judas Priest quality time intro.
That was
intro.
Good classic American yeah. intro. Fuck yeah.
Now, I thought that one was okay.
It's got all the bare bones of a nice good intro.
But this one I really love the best.
Okay, this is the meat, the meat and potatoes here.
All right, and for the third entry, into the quality time.
You want to call the second one Judas Priest?
Yeah, the Judas Priest one is number two. So we have the heavy Ambrose, the Judas Priest, or whatever we're about to hear right now.
It's so hard. It's so hard to keep it serious. It's so hard. You don't even know.
We're going to know. I'm excited to know.
It's almost like I can't even drink while doing this. This is so hard to do. Okay.
You can push through that.
Third version of Quality Time. This one's a little bit more whimsical. Kind of serious. And the worst thing was to try to get the special sound effects, which was the popper ping with Kim Fwee! And Jeremy.
Gosh. Okay, Well, okay.
That was the special German version of the quality time intro.
So, all right. I know I say I'm going to make a poll every week and I don't do it. We're going to make a poll for this one so we can get your feedback on the new intros. Is it the heavy Ambrose? Is it the
Judas Priest?
Or is it the new German intro that we go with? You know, That'll really help us to with the other quality time, the German quality time.
Yeah, maybe people can't tell the difference.
Yeah, maybe we could reach out to that quality time and sell him that intro.
Tell them we can be more German than Germans.
Come at us, bro.
Yeah.
So this week I bought some poppers. I bought some spinning whistles. A slide whistle. And a kazoo.
Yes.
So. I thought I heard the oaky timber of a kazoo.
Oh, okay. Where do we go from there?
Do we have our bearings straight?
What is your... what the fuck did we just listen to?
Really, really big fan of the James Finn Realtor song, though.
Yeah.
For real.
This
amazing.
Some good stuff, Jerry. Jerry, bravo to
top
you.
Quality.
Thank you.
Top quality.
I've been holding back.
Time.
And it was all technical problems with my Palm Studio. So,
well, now he's back up to speed, and thank God for that. So, Jeremy,
it's amazing all the different sound effects they have on these things. I mean, that was built in. It's hard to believe, you know. It's hard to believe.
It was as good as any Wesley Willis song I've ever heard.
I've got man boobs. Sorry. Yes. Is that mainly Wesley Willis?
Wesley Willis is famous for songs like "I Whooped Batman's Ass."
Oh, okay.
And "Paranoid Schizophrenia," or "I Whooped Superman's Ass."
No. Is he the one that Kurt Cobain wore the T-shirt that says "Hi, Hello There" or something?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, okay.
Do we need a little Wesley Willis so you guys can get a little?
Well, I don't know. I'm not up with the new kids stuff that kids listening to.
This is late '90s, early 2000s.
Well, that's a long time ago.
This is
I would have been listening to Coroner back then.
Jeremy, I'm surprised you've never heard Wesley Willis.
Is he like Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, he's kind of like that.
I'm motherfucking identical.
Here you go. This is the first song I ever heard. It was called "I Whipped Batman's Ass."
Batman got on my nerves. He was messing my day up.
Okay.
He was running
me. Every
a
single
mama.
One sounds
he
like this.
He didn't kill me by calling me a bum. I whip Batman's ass.
Nice.
Batman thought he was bad. He was a real stupid jerk. He was a real asshole. He got knocked to the floor by me. I whip Batman's ass.
And he does other really.
And I have driven Kim to drink again.
Just
yes.
Just so you know, he's not all about whipping Batman's ass. He has other songs like this one
that sound all exactly the same,
no,
don't they?
This is completely different.
Oh.
Give his genius a chance.
Suck a male camel's dick. Suck a hyena's ass. Suck a government's cock. Suck a snow leopard's ass. Suck a rhino's dick.
Sounds like a good Tuesday to me.
Mate.
Suck a camel's ass. Suck a camel's ass. Suck a camel's ass. Suck a camel's ass.
And now for the commentary.
Suck a hippo's cock. Suck a honey badger's ass. Suck a llama's balls. Suck a Labrador retriever's dick. Suck a caribou's ass. Suck a caribou's ass.
I like the keyword when it's
suck
like, dude.
Suck a caribou's ass. Suck a caribou's ass.
Wait, is a musical breakdown here?
Now verse two.
Nice. Professional.
So that's the magic of Wesley Willis.
Whatever whatever demos that come with whatever people buy this stuff, the best thing is that this is the guy that actually used those demos that were made in like 5 minutes for each one. So
yes, boom, and he made a song for each one. Rock and Roll McDonald's is another good one. Paranoid Schizophrenia is probably my favorite one. Because I think he was actually a paranoid schizophrenic who was just a crazy person that would sit on the streets of New York with his keyboard and sing these songs all day.
Jealous.
A funny story. I don't know if it's a funny story. It's a story about my friend, my friend's older brother. His name's Eric. And Eric said he was walking on the streets and saw Wesley Willis. He was like, "Hey, you're Wesley Willis." And he said nothing to him. He walked up to him. And came up to Eric and then put his hand on his head like this and then kissed the back of his hand and went and yelled the word Seifu Rock and just walked away from him.
And that is why he is our Lord and Guru.
So that's just a little fun story, a little tidbit I know about Wesley
that
Willis.
Is extra love that you can give to a fan and still be, you know, not sharing disease.
Seifu Rock. Like that.
That's the way you keep from getting Hep C. So,
so I just came back from a week-long vacation at the beach, and on the last day, one of the last days, Mom came down, and so I got to see Mom, the Mother Woodworth. I am the fruit of her loin, and she had a fun story about Jeremy and some of his antics around the house. Little inside cuts that
this fucking guy over here.
So we found out some real shitty shit that Jeremy did around the house. So
I was not shitty. It's just perfectly normal.
So not from what I heard.
To fill you guys in, our mom's had a little bit of some health issues, and basically the doctor kind of gave her this warning, like, you really got to get your diet under control, and it's got to happen. And she's like, cut all sugar out. She's been diabetic for 20 years, but she hasn't been on the oh, I'm not going to eat sugar train for like she should be. So she got her last warning. She's like, all right, unless you want to die, you need to really change your life. So she's really done that. I mean, she doesn't want to go back to the hospital, so she's cut out all the sugar in her life, and she's doing meal prep and stuff.
Nice.
So she,
good move, Mom.
As the story has it, she prepped up a very large amount of turkey, turkey ground beef, I guess, or turkey ground turkey to make some chili. And Jeremy came out and was like, well, that smells really good. And then apparently she was just like, yeah, it does smell really good. I'm going to make chili later with it. So she goes out because she didn't have all the ingredients. She comes back, and Jeremy's eaten 70% of all the ground chuck that's been...
Cool,
that
cool.
Is
tight, tight,
completely
tight.
Wrong. I only ate 30% of it.
Oh, my God. No percent of it. It's for chili.
And it was an entire pan full of food. So, like, just there's a small hole in it now.
No. Incorrect.
Well, Mom was very upset with this. And then she said...
She didn't say 70%.
She made it sound like it was 70.
Yeah, whatever.
That you left a portion for her.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
And then
30% at most.
And then we went on to find out that you had also eaten an entire steak, I guess, of your wives that was left around.
Yes,
of my wives.
Who does
of
this?
My many wives.
the steak of your wives.
So you ate one of your steak's wife, and she got pissed at that, too. So
I came in, and she's cooking up steaks, and I'm like, and I don't even say anything. She says, no! So a half hour later, the steaks are still sitting out. She hasn't eaten them. So what do? I eat one of them. And I eat one of them while she comes in the room. She's like, what are you doing? I said no. And I'm like, you left it out. You left the food out. And you didn't even tell me not to eat it after you left it out. You just left it out.
You just said no. I couldn't have been anything.
I told you no. And I'm like, well, and she explains to me she wanted to make it for her lunch for the week. I'm like, okay, well, okay. Fine.
So
I kind of side with you on this one.
So
I'm just a lazy fat pig. Either way, I'm not gonna make defenses for myself. So I'll give excuses, but not. Well, I'll give reasons, but not excuses.
That's fair.
So Jeremy is essentially Yogi Bear around the house. You understand? If you just leave a pie out on the sill, he's
a picnic basket.
Look at this picnic basket.
So, yeah.
So I was out back, and Mom's like, "Did you eat some of my special?" turkey thing that only I can eat because I have on a special diet?" And I was like, Yeah. She's like, well, you know, that wasn't for you. And I was like, yeah, well, you left it out.
Are you a, you're like adopting left food?
Right, right.
Like, no one wanted you. I will take you in.
And she's like, well, I need respect. I need you to respect my food. I'm like, well, I was helping put it away.
Inside of my body.
To which she told me to fuck myself.
So. Jeremy's the worst roommate in the whole world. Now, she also told me that on top of that, that later that night, you guys were all gathered around the table to play a little bit Scrabble. And your wife is an aficionado at Scrabble.
Yes.
Like, she very rarely loses at Scrabble. Very good.
Like, she's
very
the well best read. Around.
She's dope at Scrabble.
Nothing's ever going to take her down.
The chance that she doesn't have a bingo during one game is amazing.
So, apparently... Apparently, Mom said that she started to break down during the game, and I guess it was the combination of you eating her steak and the fact, not only that, but you're also winning at Scrabble. You're the worst Scrabble player. You're dominating at Scrabble.
Fucking asshole. How do you spell that, fucking asshole?
Eventually, the wife just starts complaining about, can you guys put down more than a four-letter word? As if we're both retards, Mom and I. So,
as Jeremy puts down the X for ox and gets triple word score,
right. Like, damn,
that'll
right.
be 76 points.
Damn right. Oh, they got quadruple in Super Scrabble, by the way.
Oh, whoa. Super Scrabble.
Quadruple letter and quadruple word. Then they have Super Duper Scrabble, where the board is like 50 inches by 50. It's
so extra.
And it takes you years to finish.
I like that Jeremy's policy on found food is the same policy that Bill Cosby has for having sex.
it was just laying there.
If you're there,
no one
then
else
I'm
wanted
doing
it.
Something.
If that ground chuck didn't want to get eaten, it would have been looking all sexy and quiet on the stoop.
Right.
There.
Just because that tissue that I had with the chloroform landed on your face doesn't mean it's my fault.
I mean, come on.
I'm Bill Cosby.
Who am I?
I will say that I am guilty because my wife, when we were grilling, and she grills a lot and she cooks a lot and she does a great job and keeps me very well fed. She has to like purposely go out of the way saying, I cooked 8 turkey thighs today. There for the week,
right?
Not for today only.
Right.
You may have some of the turkey thighs because there has been times where maybe after a drunken night, Ajay comes home and I might have eaten like 6 turkey thighs.
Just cause.
I'm just not cool with the whole food rules thing because my wife has definitely eaten my food over the years and it's like I won't say a single fucking thing. But if I eat one thing that I'm not supposed to eat, it's like, oh, it's the end of the fucking world, you know?
Yeah, my wife is the same way. I'm very much... Well, Jeremy and I are in the same boat of how we treat food. Like, if it's in there, you eat it. And if it's not in there, then you can't eat it because it's not in there.
It's gotten to the point where she's like, why didn't you eat this? It's like, because I didn't have permission. And I don't want to ever hear shit about anything. So I'm going to get permission before I eat anything.
By the way, it also makes sense of why Dad would also keep sub-coolers around the house where he would keep his own food that we weren't allowed to eat. Like, this is Dad's cooler. Don't you fucking touch
it. Yeah, but it was
it.
Always something good. It either had to be tasty cakes or some sort of cookies that he liked. It's like, if you eat Dad's cookies, you're really trying to get hurt. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, the trick is, you could take, like, the first pack, but if you took, like, one of the last 3 packs, oh, man,
I
not
get
just
that.
The last one.
I get
one
that.
Of those last 3.
Back up. It's my shit.
Which was the kind of donut that he liked, but he always got the triple kind of donut, so he'd never eat the one kind.
you get the Edamons with like the black chocolate, the powdered, and just leave the shitty cake donuts for everybody. Just like, here you go, family, you guys can have these ones.
The baller move.
I remember we used to have a cat named Mikey, who was the fucking baddest ass cat that we ever had. And Mikey was literally Garfield or Heathcliff. He would eat any human food. And I mean, it didn't matter what the fuck it was. And he loved fucking donuts. I swear to God. Butter and donuts, he would just fucking eat up.
Jesus.
And we remember, like, the Enemans packaging has, like, that really thin, clear part at the top. And we came in and just saw that Mikey had tore open the front of the donut, like tore through the packaging. And it's like white powder donuts, right? And we look over And he's just sitting there innocently, black cat, fully coked out white face. Like, looking like Tony Montana. Just like, I don't see anything wrong.
And feeling like him, too.
I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just claw and fucking teeth marks all over it. The whole top layer is gone. Like,
I'm
Mikey,
no detective, but I feel
wrong
like
with you.
Animals.
That cat was so bad. That cat actually went down and would attack any... Not any human, but it would attack any other animal that wasn't part of the house. It was friendly with other cats if you introduced them. And he was like, this is a new kitty cat. And like, whatever. Okay, I get it. But he would kill squirrels, anything. He went down. We had a groundhog that lived underneath the carport. And he went down in the groundhog hole. And we were like, Mikey, get the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. It came out like 20 minutes later. His ears were all tore up. That I think he never. I never saw that groundhog again. He fucking killed a groundhog.
Jesus.
We had a German Shepherd next door that was the fucking meanest dog in the whole world. His name was Shaka. Oh, man, this dog was a demon. I remember when I was a young child of about, like, 10 years old, I was rollerblading, as I was apt to do at the age of 10. And this dog got loose and fucking bit me on my ass so hard. I was so pissed, and it fucking bit me. And they pulled the dog off. I'm like, hey, I'm fine, whatever, crying. I'm 10 years old. And I remember looking out one day, and my
cat... He just sounded like gay people.
My cat, Mikey, I looked over into the neighbor's yard, and Mikey went and jumped on that dog's back, this German Shepherd,
fuck yeah,
and was riding him like a fucking bronco, like,
Jesus.
Like, this had his claws and teeth dug into him, and the dog finally, like, rolled over, like, rolled on his back, and Mikey went up and dipped and started booking it, and just as, like, he got to the edge of the yard, it fucking yoked the chain of the dog back, like this, like, like,
oh,
that.
Oh, my God,
and he
yes.
got away, man. He was such a badass cat.
That's so fucking cool.
Fearless Mikey.
Fuck
fearless.
Yeah.
So
they don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, and then Mikey ended up like committing suicide one day.
Yeah, because he's going out on his terms.
Dude,
he's
I'm telling you,
badass.
This is how hard this cat went. He was getting on in his age, right? And he was terrified of the road. He was an indoor-outdoor cat, but he would never even get close to the road. And one day he was just run over. And he was just at the side of the road. So he just punched his ticket. He was like, well, all I got to do is we'll walk out on this road and I can kill myself. And
damn.
That's what he did. We just found him run over in front of the house one day.
That's a soldier.
Yeah.
If y'all are drinking 40s, maybe pour some out for Mikey, because that's badass.
Pour some out for my cat, Mikey.
There's always that special moment when you're a child. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're an 8-year-old. Maybe you're a 4-year-old. But when you get to see your sweet little Yorkie dog with its brains like half out of its skull shoveled back in, you're like, well, I guess that dog's not alive anymore. So,
All right. Sorry, Sparkles.
That's life, son.
That
what do you want for dinner?
It was both Buttons and Butch died that way. So, yeah.
Buttons and Butch.
Yep. Yorkie Terriers. So.
Hmm. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Much like the Wizard of Oz. They went over the rainbow.
fuck those fuckers. Anyway. what else do we got on the show
R.I.P.
today?
P.P.P. on your face. You saw Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah, I did see the Dark... So...
Oh, yeah.
I am a huge Dark Tower Stephen King fan. It's one of the first... I think it's one of the first series of books that, like, made me like to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read it, and I was like, this is, like, I... Reading was no longer like something I had to do. It's something that I recreationally wanted to do.
Nice.
And I really loved the Dark Tower series. I still do. And as you guys know, and you've probably seen in the media, Dark Tower just dropped this past weekend, and it is currently riding an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. but I decided that... You know, wow. I got to go out and go see this.
It's
I got to go see
right?
it. I like, listen, I'm such a big fan. I got to see it just for my own eyes to know that it's bad.
Yeah.
And it was really bad. It was not good.
And it's like, how much money do they spend to make that?
Probably millions and billions of dollars.
It's so sad.
Every film now costs $100 million. So...
Like, there's so much better things you can do with that money.
Like, there's two guys sitting at a table in a restaurant. That movie cost $100 million. And all the CGI of all the waiters walking around the restaurant now, so...
Fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what were the good things about it? If I were to point out any of the good things that actually might have come from this movie... God, where do I start?
Painful
so,
reviews.
So... Here's the good, guys. The good is that, like, visually, It's a very well shot in cinematography and just the way it looks.
Yeah, it was $100,000 million fucking dollars. It better.
It looks like they spent all the money that they had to make it look yeah. really good. Okay. It is the action sequences, not bad. The action sequences okay. were good. Something you'd expect from a blockbuster movie for the That's most cool. part. Nothing out of the ordinary there. If you're a Stephen King avid reader, there are lots of Easter eggs in it that almost to the point of over Easter eggs. Mm. Like there's just needless eggs. Crap
now,
that
how many,
constantly in it that are
how many send ups to other Stephen King's are there in it?
Almost every scene. So this is the thing. Almost every scene, there's something from like a Stephen King novel that's hidden in it, whether it's the Dark Tower series, and you just have no idea. First of all, like I watched a lot of the movie. I'm like, if you had never read a Stephen King book, 90% of this movie means nothing to you. I like, honestly, there's like pictures of like all the spray paint on the walls or like little things that are like allusions that, you know, they allude to other parts.
Like it says red rum or something?
It's just everything. There's roses painted everywhere, which is a big symbol in the Dark Tower, because the Dark Tower is surrounded by roses. They don't explain that at all. It means nobody's watching this who hadn't read the books and understand, like, oh, there's another rose there. Like,
but
I picked it up.
But it really ties in by the sixth movie.
Yeah, they have basically some of the low men that are in like the other Stephen King stories, which are basically these creatures that can take their skin off and are actually little crazy demons underneath. They have in when they're walking around Midworld, which is the world where the gunslinger lives, is they come across an amusement park. It's called Pennywise Amusement Park. So nice. It's like it's Stephen King's It is the Pennywise the right. clown and stuff like that. So, which he does show up in the Dark Tower series, but all it is just they show the amusement part. It's like, oh, we shouldn't go in there. Okay. And then it means nothing. They just don't go in there.
Most,
that's it.
Most important part, do they eventually explain that the worm is the spice and the spice is the worm? Mm-hmm. So
they do. And the spice is the key to Midworld.
Cool.
So,
well, then I'm in.
Where to go with the bad? I think my...
My dreams have been shot down. I went to see a crappy movie. I wish I could be 5 and watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again.
Yeah. Because
that was a damn good movie.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that hurt probably the most is that Matthew McConaughey is playing the man in black, a.k.a. Martine from the books, and or he's also known as Walter.
Walter.
So he,
the man in black, the ultimate evil, otherwise known as Walter.
Yes.
So, hey, man, he is the danger.
I think the ultimate evil should be known as James Finn.
Yes. So he literally phones in a performance for this one. He comes off as basically just a Marvel villain for the most part, and it's just I hate to be the guy who's just like, if they had followed the books and this and that. Well, if they had just followed the books a little bit, it probably would have been okay.
Yeah.
But instead, the biggest thing that the major problem is that while Idris Elba is a great gunslinger, he does a pretty good job for the most part. Is that his motivation is revenge, and that's not in the Dark Tower. That's not the case. His motivation is never revenge on the Man in Black. The Man in Black and him are on the same goal. They're just at different means. They both want to reach the Dark Tower first. Mm-hmm. One to possibly protect it, and you know, Roland doesn't necessarily know why in the books, but Martine wants to definitely do it and release hell on Earth.
That
for the
pisses
most
me
part.
Off. I'm and so, all for changes, but. When you take something so foundation like that and change it, it's annoying.
So instead the book is more about the gunslinger and his addiction. It's almost like it's a total infatuation that he can't get rid of. He has to get there, and he'll do it by any means necessary, whether that's sacrificing his loved ones to do so. It almost makes him out to be a pretty shitty character, a very anti-hero at times. But in this one, he's just, the Man in Black killed my dad, and I'm hell-bent on revenge, and I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, it's
and
too
he's
flat.
He's a hero that's trying to find his way again, right? Like, it's a story that's been done before, and
right,
it comes
right.
off very much as like we decided after about halfway through this movie that we need to follow and make this a Marvel film. So they try to like punch it up with some really hokey humor.
Right,
like, they just do a lot of dumb stuff in it. The kid, a lot of the movie is about Jake, who is in the book The Gunslinger, and it really revolves around his story. And it's supposed to bring you into this bigger fantasy world that you want to learn more about, but none of the characters you really relate with. Like, you know, none of them you really care about. Like, you're like, oh, could Jake die here? All right. I guess that could be okay. And I think the weirdest part about it is 2/3 of the scenes of this movie just end, like, really abruptly.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, well, what was that scene for? Like, yeah. I felt like there was a beginning, middle to this scene. Where was the end? Like, what were we supposed to learn from what we just watched there?
Interesting.
And I imagined, like, the movie's only 90 minutes long. It's as if producers came in and were like, yeah, you got a 2-hour and 10-minute movie, and we need to cut about 40 minutes out. And they were like, well, it's really important to have this 40 minutes, we think. And they go, nah, just take like 5 minutes off of each scene. That'll be fine, right? And that's what they did to get the movie down to 90 minutes. Yeah. I feel like there is a director's cut out there somewhere that's on the cutting room floor where you watch and you're like, oh my God, this actually makes sense now. Like,
it's like the other half of Lost.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
So that was the one really disappointing part of it. And just it was incoherent. It was a thing that I really loved, and it's pretty horrible. So
cool,
1.5 stars overall.
Wow.
Out of 10. So.
Well, you know, the movies are always better than the book. You know, books you got to read, you got to take time. The movie, hour and a half, you're done.
My favorite thing is I used to work with this girl at Fast Signs that she was like an avid book reader. And one thing that you could just drive her up the wall is if you ever found like a book that, like, you know how they like make like Fight Club the book, but it'll be like it'll be like the picture from the movie.
Yeah, because
they re-released the book. And they're like, hey, we would always like message her wherever we're out. Like, if we found like Fight Club, or hey, Game of Thrones, but it has like pictures from the actors in the show Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, hey, they made a book of that that show Game of Thrones. Have you seen that? And she's like, we know she reads Game of Thrones and loves it. And it'll just steam her up so bad. Like, she was like, no, it was a book first. I was like, yeah, well then why do they have the actors on the cover? Yeah. Sure.
I can't wait to see the book of The Walking Dead. Yes, you know, yes. That is going to be so awesome. So, yes.
The Walking Dead book.
The book. So. Now in book form.
If you thought Walking Dead was scary before, wait till you read it.
For those that aren't as intelligent, it's a book with pictures.
Hey, I'm smart. I like pictures, you guys.
Oh, I need to talk about how shitty the Cambridge theater is that I went to. So I went to a theater in Cambridge to watch this because I got dropped off on the way home from Ocean City and just left for a couple hours before the show, The Kill. So I ended up going to the movies there, which is where I decided to unfortunately see The Dark Tower. And
I walk in and I swear there's
a line of people.
Let me guess, 3 screens.
Okay, so yeah, there's 4 screens there.
Ooh, 4.
It's a 4-screen
yes.
theater that... just when I walk in, there's nobody at the front box office. They say, come to the concession stand to buy tickets. I'm like, okay.
On a Saturday night.
I look up. No, this is a Saturday matinee. So when it opened up, I'm just walking in at, you know, mid-afternoon because they open up at like 1 o'clock or whatever. I look up and there is a old school standard square definition TV above there that's showing previews. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, standard definition TV.
Standard.
Okay, cool. Whatever.
That's Cambridge, Maryland.
Yeah. I get
they don't
in
have
there.
Flat screens yet.
I shit you not. There are about 20 people in line before me, and I saw them coming in. There's nothing but black people at this theater. I'm like, is this the Cambridge Magic Johnson Theater that I've chosen to go to? I wasn't really sure. I was relatively certain that maybe I'm wrong. This is the Magic Johnson? So I'm looking at them, and none of them are going to my theater. So there were 20 people that were there to go see Girl Trip Over the Dark Tower. So Girl Trip with Queen Latifah.
I was going to say Detroit.
No, Detroit was not playing. No. I think the choices were The Dark Tower, Atomic Blonde, and Girl Trip, right? And then I thought they were showing Spider-Man. I was like, can I watch Spider-Man now? And they were like, we don't have it anymore. I'm sorry. And I was like,
oh, we don't have new movies, sir.
We only have the newest movies. Would you like to see Atomic Blonde? I was like, I'm pass. I did check the Rotten Tomatoes. It was like a high 70. I was like, I want to see it. I'm too hurt by this. I'm too hurt by the Dark Tower now.
Buddy.
So I went and drowned my emotions across the parking lot at an Arby's where I bought 3 sliders and a Jamocha shake. And I ate heavily. No, I also went to the Walmart next door. So I went to the Walmart, which lived up to every stereotype of Walmart you've ever seen on the internet.
I hate it.
It was so good. I went to go buy a pair of slacks for the show. And I also bought the original Stephen King's Dark Tower book, which is The Gunslinger, which said it was the Dark Tower with the movie on it, which I instantly texted to the lady I used to work at Fast Signs. I was like, hey, check this out, blah, blah, blah. They made a book of this.
She's like, God damn it. She's like, enough. You know, it's been 17 years of this shit.
I haven't worked with you in 6 years. Why are you still doing this to me? Why do you have lose my number? That's all I ask. So that was it. And so I had a fun day in Cambridge, Maryland.
Cambridge.
And I read a book in Arby's. So I was probably the most educated person
to
ever.
Say, wow.
I don't think anyone's ever read at Arby's.
Way
period.
To set a standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I go.
Way to go, man.
How about you, Kim? Anything new in your life? What's going on in the world of Kim?
I got to be on 98 Rock. That was really fun. I gave you a shout out, but you were on vacay, so you
I
didn't
got
hear
messages
it.
About it happening. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
It was cool. Kirk and Marianne had me on 3:30 to 6:30. Asked me about living in a funeral home and being a doula and the murder mystery, and they were really nice, and it was a lot of fun.
What's a doula?
I help women through childbirth.
Oh, okay.
I'm emotional and informational and coping support.
Not a midwife, a doula.
No, not a midwife. I don't have as much medical responsibility.
I immediately, when she first told me that, I was just like, well, everybody knows that it's the crocodile part that makes them is the medulla oblongata.
And I was
thought
like,
that was your job.
Cool, you sound like a guy who reads in an Arby's. Cool, man.
I don't read in our Arby's. I just drive through the McDonald's and eat in my air-conditioned car.
Hell yeah, because you're a fucking American man.
I'm so fat, I'm ready to die.
And now I'm ready to die. Boom, boom, boom. So that was cool. Thanks for the big shout out. We got at least like 4 or 5 more downloads from that on quality time.
Hey, thanks,
hands
guys.
Down. Wait a minute, let's get back to me. What did you actually shout out? Did you say shout out to Eric Woodworth?
I can't
what?
Remember. I was talking about, I tied it into the murder mystery somehow. Oh, he asked me about what podcast I do. I said Quality Time, Eric Woodworth and Jeremy Woodworth, and I do the murder mystery with Eric, and he's awesome and he's very funny. I said something like that.
Jeremy's not allowed at 98 Rock Studios. He got removed.
You got in twobbles.
Yeah.
I might try again.
Jeremy,
I might
stop. What are you planning?
I never tell your plans.
Jeremy, don't go up to 98 Rock Studios and get kicked out again.
I won't get kicked out. Either I won't get in or I will get in.
If you don't get in, it's because you're being kicked out.
Jeremy, you're not helping yourself with people like Justin. You're going to have to work with soon. You understand
that?
And he's
doing?
Already terrified of you.
Well, that's the whole point. You celebrate that you're working with somebody.
by giving them presents. For their life.
What could go wrong?
I think you should just wait till the next bacon and beer or outdoor event.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably
and he didn't life. Acknowledge my giving him of Country Club 40s.
What are you going to do about it, fucking psycho?
I'm going to give him more. So.
I will bring one Country Club. He goes with the Andy Dufresne way, which is where he writes a letter every week, except he actually sends a cold, ice-cold Country
Andy
Club
Dufresne.
40 every week.
I will make all of 98 Rock listen to those two ladies sing from that Mozart opera that I can't think of off the top of my head. So. Yes, until all of Baltimore feels like they're free.
Woodworth, turn it off.
So
Woodworth,
Marriage of Figaro. That's right.
Yeah,
yes,
there you go.
Yes.
Figaro, Figaro, the most popular opera of all time.
And of course, all them people in the prison heard that and said, what the fuck is this shit? Why can't you put on some country hillbilly music and then we'll dance up a jig in this prison? So.
Why don't? And the whole time I was thinking, why can't he put on the Misfits record that's sitting right there?
We all are 3138, yes. We'll redo the Shawshank Redemption to revamp it.
Oh, so. One more thing before, because we're getting near the end of the show.
At that moment, every man at Shawshank felt they were free.
That would be really great if you go and re-edit the Shawshank video so that when he puts on the music, it's the James Fitz song. Turn it off, Dufresne, and everybody's looking up like, man, this is really good.
That would be amazing, and I think it'd be worth your time.
Well, I know what I'm doing all night.
Yes. Yes.
While I masturbate.
I had some of it. Oh, yeah. So Eric Navarro. Do you guys know Eric Navarro?
Wasn't he
the guitarist that filled in for the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yes. Eric Navarro from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ooh, you are going to catch yourself a Joe Robinson correction real high and tight.
I'm pretty sure that him and the lead singer kissed during one of the videos.
Do you want to cash Joe outside? Do you?
So we got a call. I got a message. So Eric Navarro is a local comedian, but he also writes for the fake rock news site called The Hard Times, which is basically The Onion for like, it's like The Onion version of Rolling Stone, kind of. Groovy. You know what I mean? So they do like music stuff and fake music.
Did you need
news.
A back rub?
So
my back is killing. Are you seeing me be so uncomfortable right now? I'm sorry.
So Eric Navarro, he writes for The Hard Times, and I do the thing that is the most annoying thing in the world, which is, like, you know when you're at a comedy show and somebody comes up to you and is like, dude, I totally got this thing you could use, right?
Yeah,
it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
I do this to Eric Navarro all the time, like, hey, man, I got a headline for you. I do it knowing that this is the worst thing I could be doing all the time, right? And I really think, like, man, I'm going to be different. And I realize, no, I'm just being a piece of shit and fucking with him. But I truthfully sent him so many that every, like, fourth or fifth one, he's like, hey, man, that one might actually make it. I was like, you know, listen, I want you to feel comfortable. Please submit it. If you ever have a slow day, I want you to do it. You don't have to give me any credit for it. I just want to live with the little idea in my head that I did. I got one. I was a ghostwriter for something, right? So, which I've completely defeated the purpose because now it's on the podcast.
You know, that sounds like a really good Nicolas Cage movie, Ghostwriter.
Ghostwriter.
Yes, I'm into that.
Do you remember Ghostwriters? It was a very good kid show.
I wrote things for other people that performed them. I'm Nicolas Cage. Ghostwriter.
I would totally avoid that movie.
So the headlines that I put in were that he said he submitted. He said he actually submitted one.
Nice.
And I submitted this one headline that said, Danzig's new anti-bullying campaign urges... Danzig's new anti-bullying campaign urges mothers... Control yourself. Control yourself. It's a.
Are you tired of having to go to your mother because you're being bullied? Mother!
No.
I've been bullied so many times.
Let me finish the sentence and then you can riff as much as you want. It says Danzig's new anti-bullying campaign urges mothers to, quote, tell your children not to walk my way. Which is what I submitted to him. I was very.
I feel like you just gave Jeremy a Christmas present. Like, he's so happy right now.
I also had another one.
I love
one.
Making fun of Danzig. So
I also had another Danzig one that said, "New HGTV show where Danzig metals up your house, set for November."
Nice.
I decided to put this bloody horse head right above your mantelpiece. I thought it really accented your home.
I like in Aqua Teen Hunger Force when he's like, we're gonna need the blood to run down the walls.
Let me tell you kids something, Ray. I just walked into the room. I listened to your kids' shit now. Look. All these new fucking fake rock and rollers. This is Vietnam Tom, by the way, just in case you didn't know.
Tom, thank you for joining us on the show.
I thought it was the lady from the earlier.
In my day, all the rock and rollers died of heroin. They didn't hang themselves, fucking pussies. Fuck new rock and roll. It's not even rock and roll. It's not even Billy Joel rock and roll. It's just bullshit. Can you guys play some Foghat? Just
Jerry,
for
could,
me.
Could you have a conversation with Vietnam Tom and the lady that lived in Cambridge as if they
that
were...
That was my mom, Mrs. Toomey. She taught me. I remember when I was 4 years old and she gave me my first smoke. I said,
Mom, can I try some of that?
Here you go, sonny. Try out this menthol. It's good for you. I
took a little puff.
Oh my gosh, Mom! This is killing my lungs. It's good for you. Don't trust what the government says. I'm Mrs. Toomey, and don't use the water.
Oh, bravo. Yes. Thank you for that.
I feel like, okay.
Thespian.
Can we take a vote between the two of us that after that and the theme songs, I feel like he made up for the turkey and the steak.
Yeah, I think you've completely adjudicated
yourself.
If
it wasn't
yourself,
for the second one.
I should be allowed to eat anything I want from anybody now. I'm still an asshole to my mother and my
also,
wife.
I really want to make a t-shirt that has whatever graphic you want it to have, but then it just says subjugated.
Subjugated?
Yeah.
Subjugated.
I can't stop thinking about that.
Part of me really loves to subjugate women, whereas I am subjugated as a man by my wife.
Which is subjugated.
You mean subjugated.
I'm writing a book called My Wife Ate My Balls. I used to be a man.
I guess we can close the show on this. I know that I didn't bring this up with anybody, but did anybody see the trailer for the new remake of Death Wish?
No.
With Bruce Willis.
What?
Bruce Willis in Death Wish, and it looks fucking top notch.
No shit.
I shit you not.
Okay.
I refuse to see it unless Jeff Goldblum rapes somebody in the mouth.
Well, that's every time though, so.
I remember that was the greatest part of Independence Day. So.
That's actually one of the things that he's doing in Ragnarok, the new Thor movie. He actually rapes Thor in the mouth. In
Whoa.
The new Thor movie.
Jesus Chrysler.
I'll have to rape you in the mouth. I'm Jeff Goldblum. Part of the Jeff Goldblum Blue Man group.
Who's this?
I'll have to rape you in the mouth. I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Who is this flaking haired gentleman who seems to control thunder? You know what I'd like to do is I'd like to stick my fly penis inside of him, in his mouth area, over and over again.
Eric Stoltz was my favorite fly, by the way.
Eric Stoltz was your favorite fly. I think that's it for the show this week.
Okay.
Kimberly, give us some plugs. What do we got?
Oh, the second Saturday Shit Show is this weekend, free at Auto Bar upstairs. Nick Oldershaw is headlining. It's going to be amazing. Cameron Farmer, also from LA, is going to be on the lineup. It's going to be super fun. 11th and 12th this weekend, again, Baltimore Comedy Factory. Come see Eric and I do Sing for Your Life. At the Baltimore Comedy Factory, 3 shows at Die Laughing Productions on Instagram, dielaughingproductions.com. I think that's it.
Oh yeah, and you can check out all things Eric Comedy at Eric with a K, Comedy with a C .com, EricComedy.com. Check everything else out there. Give us a 5-star rating on the iTunes. Thank you, and God bless. goddamn idiot.